Hello, world. It's the Ladies of Nerditude. My name's Francine.
I'm Jill.
And this week, we are going to be reviewing the fairly new film. It's still kind of new. The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Yay!
Yeah. So I just saw it. And you saw it a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of, like, you've had time to let it sink in.
To digest.
Yeah. Yes. It's, like, fresh in my mind.
Oh, yes.
But overall, what did you think?
I thought it was a little bit of a slow start,
mm-hmm.
but I enjoyed it because, I mean, who doesn't love Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson? I mean, it was just two of the best people. and I really like summer blockbuster blow it up kind of stuff every once in a while. Mm-hmm. I just want to be like entertained.
Yeah.
And I'm very American in that I like to watch things blow up. But yeah, it was a little bit of a slow start, almost to the point where I was like, oh, it's kind of a bust. And then it picked up and it was hilarious and I loved it.
Nice.
So I would watch it again.
Yeah, I think I would watch it again, like just for the characters, not for the story, but for the characters.
Yeah, well, but I kind of felt like Ryan Reynolds was his usual
mm-hmm.
self and Samuel Jackson was his usual self.
Yes.
But I really liked Salma Hayek's character.
She was awesome.
Yes.
She was really funny.
Yes. I really enjoyed that. And I also got a kick out of the majority of the action took place in Amsterdam because mm-hmm. I spent some time there and I was like, oh, I've been there.
You were like, this is familiar to me.
Yeah. So I liked it.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm always like a huge Gary Oldman fan. Like mm-hmm. I love pretty much everything that he's ever done.
Oh yes.
So he was actually the one that I was most excited to see. And I think he did a good job, but like he wasn't as Gary Oldman-ish as I was expecting him to be. Like he was a little more subdued than I thought he would be playing this kind of character. And that actually surprised me. I was like, where's the crazy like, you know, tick or like the weird thing about this guy? He didn't really have like a weird thing about him other than just being kind of crazy and power hungry. I thought that was out of character for Gary Oldman.
It's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I mean, as a big fan of his work, I feel like he almost doesn't even take a part unless it has like something weird about it, or he can like inject something weird into it if it doesn't already exist.
What about in Air Force One when he was basically the same guy he was in Hitman's Bodyguard? I don't remember him having any weird.
Yeah, there was a lot of yelling in that, which really only came in the end of Hitman's Bodyguard when he like kind of lost his shit and was like in the middle of the room just screaming about how nobody could tell him what to do. That was classic Gary Oldman to me.
Yes.
Up until that point, he was pretty normal until he like went full psycho.
He was pretty normal for you. Terrorist, I guess. So that was a little uncomfortable. I feel bad for cultures that are always depicted as terrorists mm-hmm. in movies, and I was like, oh, these was he Belarusian?
Yeah, he was actually the former leader of Belarus in this movie.
Right. Okay. I was gonna say I couldn't remember because I knew he had like a Russian type accent mm-hmm. but I knew he was supposed to be from Belarus or Bulgaria or something. So,
and they had brought like war, like basically human rights violation charges against him. And that's how he got deposed from power. And that's why the ICC was there to like kind of basically charge him with genocide in his own country, which is, that's a pretty heavy subject for a comedy action movie.
Well, and I think that was one of the things where I was like, oh, mm-hmm. I thought this was a comedy and like a buddy cop comedy.
That was pretty serious. Wasn't
expecting that right off the mm-hmm. bat.
Yeah, murdering children and like.
And I like dark comedy a lot. I mean, one of my favorite movies is Gross Point Blank.
Mm-hmm.
So, which by the way, you should watch that if you haven't. but I was like, oh, I don't know about that. Like that seems a little. A little real right now, mm-hmm. and I just feel like it's time to stop stereotyping different cultures and things in movies because you're not helping. You need to like put people in different roles and different situations and I don't know. Just, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I know what you're trying to say. Well, and that's what was kind of weird to me is that, like, yes, it had this, like, lighthearted, like, comedy and, like, yeah, they were kind of making fun of, like, being a hitman and killing people and stuff. And, like, that was okay. But then when we got to the, like, genocide and the criminal court, that was completely not funny.
No.
At all. And so it was this weird, like, transition where you were, like, in comedy space and it was okay to, like, really laugh because some of it was really funny.
Oh, yes.
But then it got, like, really serious.
Yeah, it is a movie, I would say, that goes back and forth mm-hmm. a bit. I had a really hard time with the scene with the professor.
Yeah.
And his family.
Mm-hmm.
That was really rough to watch. But then you turn around and Ryan Reynolds running through Amsterdam trying to kill someone with an axe was hilarious.
That was pretty funny. Yeah, in the hardware store. That was pretty good. And even, like, towards the end, it was an interesting mix, like the comedy notes that they struck when it was just Samuel L. Jackson and Gary Oldman's characters on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And he was being, like, very serious, but then he kind of made a joke right before he, like, pushed him off the roof. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, wow, okay. So we're like, it's funny, but it's also really not funny. And then right after that, what do we see? We see him, like, hit the roof of the car. And then all of these people that were affected by the tragedy, by the genocide that he had spearheaded, kind of, like, surrounding him and being like, oh, it's that guy. Wow, he's really dead. Oh my gosh, like, totally not funny. Very serious.
Mm-hmm.
So that was weird to have that, like, comedy moment stuck in between, like, very serious resolution to, like, an international conflict and a genocide.
Right.
It was interesting.
It was. And then, per my usual issue with movies, I was able to guess who the bad guy was right off the bat.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was telling you about it. I was like, well, there's, like, a scene. And then I, like, knew who shot mm-hmm. the guy. So the Japanese mm-hmm. ambassador or whatever he was.
Yeah. The business guy. Dude.
Business guy who got shot. I was like, oh. I even looked at the person I was at the movie with. I was like, I bet Samuel L. Jackson shot him.
Finn said the same thing. Like,
it was like
15 minutes into the movie. He was like, oh, yep, that happened. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, that's kind of.
Yeah.
So it was a little.
Yeah. So there was that. And then.
And there was no mystery as to, like, who the mole was either, because they just told you right off, which was kind of a weird take. I kept waiting for, like, a twist. Like, okay, so we know that guy's the mole, but, like, who's he secretly working with? And that never happened.
Right.
And I was kind of like, oh, so we just knew the whole time. Okay.
And I kind of want to be like. I'd seen that guy in other movies playing a similar role. So that was where I was like, oh, it's probably that guy. Also, he had, like, a Russian accent.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like,
they made it a little obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it would have been surprising had it been, I don't know, the Australian guy or something. Mm-hmm. But
I was hoping. Like,
yeah. No.
I was hoping that the girl was going to be involved. I was like, ooh, maybe she's, like, a secret mole. And then he'll be like, I was right. But that didn't happen either. So not the most, like, creative in terms of the plot and, like, the progression of the film. I think the success of it really rests on, like, the casting.
Yes. Because, I'll be quite frank, I will watch pretty much anything that has Ryan Reynolds in
mm-hmm.
it. And I really like Samuel L. Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of his movies. I didn't like Pulp Fiction. I didn't mm-hmm. really care for that. I'm not a Tarantino person, but I love Samuel L. Jackson. So when I saw both of them were going to be in it, and then with the trailer that had the Whitney Houston song,
yes,
I was like, I need to see this
yeah.
in theaters.
Yeah. It had a lot of the, like, end of summer blockbuster, like, madness going on. Yeah. Like, it has that in spades. Everything crazy, every crazy explosion, every crazy, like, injury and weapon moment, and, like, it had all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely summer blockbuster, don't think about it too hard kind of movie, you know, or, like, if you think about it too much, it starts to kind of fall apart.
Yeah. I agree. I think that was the problem, was that I thought a little bit too much at the beginning, because I was like, oh yeah, he shot that guy, and then later in the movie they're gonna have like a moment,
like where, a bro talk. Yeah.
Sure enough, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And that's fine, because every once in a while you just want to be entertained and you kind of want to know what's going to happen, I guess. Yeah.
It was about the journey, not that there was any like mystery as to how it was going to end.
Right. Not every movie needs to be The Imitation Game. Mm-hmm. I love that movie, but it's not one that I'm going to go watch and take my mind off things. So I was there because I wanted to be entertained.
Yeah. So. And it definitely does that. And I
laughed so hard.
It was really funny. The jokes landed. Most of them landed really well. And obviously, like, my husband turned to me at one point, and Samuel L. Jackson had been like, motherfucker, motherfucker, for like 10 minutes over and over and over again. He says it like over 100 times in the movie. And he was like, that's why he signed on to do this movie, because they said that he could say that word like over and over and over again. And that feels so true, mm-hmm. that he was just like, I get to say whatever I want. And they were like, OK.
And I like that Ryan Reynolds's character was saying, oh, he's ruined that phrase forever. I can't even say it anymore.
Yeah. Like the moments where they really like hung a lantern on the ridiculousness of either Samuel L. Jackson or like action movies in general, and they kind of like pointed it out while they were doing it, showed me like, okay, they're self-aware. They know this is ridiculous and over the top, and that makes it like okay to me. Mm-hmm. It's when they take themselves too seriously and they're like, this is my art. Triple X number 15 is like my, you know, and then you're kind of like, all right, you're taking this a little seriously right now. It's an action movie. This is not like, you know, Gone with the Wind.
Right. It's not cinematic. Genius.
You're not making like art here, guys. You're making entertainment, and you can make both. There were some shots that were really beautiful. Where we went back in time and like Samuel L. Jackson was remembering the murder of his father and then like his revenge killing.
Oh, the birds.
The birds in the tree and like the car. That was a beautiful sequence. Like that whole, the cinematography of that sequence was gorgeous. That was beautiful. So they had moments, but most of it was just like, boom, explosion, boom, like, you know.
I really liked, and I guess maybe because it was my favorite scene, but the way that it was shot when he was remembering how he met Salma Hayek's character.
That was really funny.
I was laughing so, oh, my side hurt. So he's remembering when he met her in, where were they at?
Oh, I think they were in Honduras.
Honduras, yes. So they're in Honduras, and he like looks over at this beautiful woman who's kicking somebody's ass and stabbing people with beer bottles. And
she's like straight up in a bar fight.
Straight up. And she is more than holding her own. Mm-hmm. And like, he's just so, and the music, it was perfect. And when he just like looks up and he's like, oh my God, that woman.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. I'd never seen anything more beautiful in my whole life. And there's like blood spraying as she cuts somebody's jugular. And there's like the romantic music playing.
He had a moment. He found his soulmate.
I was laughing so hard. And the cigarette like fell out of his mouth.
It was very funny. And even them at the end, like reuniting when the guy was on fire. And like they were slow dancing amidst this like huge bar fight. That was a really nice callback to that scene. So I appreciated the chance to like laugh at them now. Yes. The way that we laughed at them like in the past. That was very clever. My favorite part was probably the really long extended like chase through when he's in the boat.
Oh yeah, that was good.
That was great. There were a lot of car crashes and like a lot so of many. Much destruction.
This really happened in Amsterdam. Oh my God. I'm just saying.
Oh, it was. I have a thing about car crashes. Like when they're too real. Mm-hmm. It gives me secondhand like anxiety because I don't like driving. So whenever I see like cars flipping over and like exploding, I'm just like, oh my God, that could really happen. And it makes me not want to drive anywhere ever again.
Don't worry, I got you.
So there were a lot of those. Like there was a lot of car flips over and like one car pushes another car like off of the, you know, cliff. And like there was so much of that. But I loved the long extended chase scene because it went on forever. Like Ryan Reynolds on the motorbike and Samuel L. Jackson in the boat trying to work together to like outwit and like escape from all of these. I mean, you have like the ICC, like Interpol trying to get them, which PS Interpol doesn't do that ever. Killjoy. That's like not how Interpol works, but it's okay. Whatever. It's fine.
As you know, this movie was probably written by Americans who don't really know.
Yeah. But I really liked that, like them seeing them work together to try to like outsmart everyone. They were trying to outsmart Interpol and like the bad guy terroristy people, like, and the local police were there.
Everybody.
Everyone's chasing after them and they're just like, yeah, it's cool. We'll just blow everyone up and send like how many cars into the freaking river?
Those aren't that deep.
At least two.
Yeah.
So that was a little... It was funny. It was very funny. But it also gave me a lot of moments of like, oh, but the car. Oh, but that's so expensive. And like, I have that thing in the back of my mind whenever I watch action movies where I'm just like, oh, but that was a new car when they got it. Oh, man.
I like that your mind goes there. Just like mentally tallying up the cost of the damage.
Oh, my gosh. It's horrible. I'm like, oh, that poor person that just got their window broken when you like flew through it. That's not their fault. They're just trying to like sell hardware. They're just trying to make a living.
Oh my gosh.
Now you've destroyed the inside of their car and you're just like, sorry. And you walk away.
I also enjoyed the scene right before the 20-minute long explosion fest. It
went on forever.
Forever. When Ryan Reynolds is sitting at the bar. And everything starts blowing up around him and he's just sitting there yelling at the bartender and he's like, this guy, just like, I'm gonna have to save his ass again. And he's just sitting there calmly like throwing back shots and
he's like, you see what I have to work with, damn it, I have to go save his ass.
It's pretty good.
That was great. It was very, like, I liked that they each got their moment to be themselves mm-hmm. and, like, shine. And it was the natural conflict between the two personalities that made the movie magic. Like, that's what made it really work, was them just kind of butting heads, being themselves. I would love to see the outtakes.
Oh, those are going to be good. Absolutely.
I would love to see them just like hanging out, and because I can imagine them actually having those conversations and just being like, fuck, would you just no?
Yeah. So good. I enjoyed it a lot, but yeah, that last chase scene, I guess we're gonna call it, that was a little long. But
yeah,
when Ryan Reynolds was in the hardware store, I think that was so funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And I liked,
if you don't help me, you're next. Just got that chain around that guy's neck.
It's like, could you do me a solid here? I'm a little busy right now. That was funny. Yeah. Well, and I also liked the long, there were a lot of really long chase sequences, like a lot of them.
Depends heavily on the action.
Yeah, there were a lot of them. I liked watching Samuel L. Jackson slowly destroy that little like Ford car.
That was pretty good.
That was great. When the hood flew off, I like legit, I burst out laughing. It was really loud. Like, I laughed extremely loud because that was just so funny, because I felt like that was really real. They were showing us like, you know, this car is about to get really fucked up. And then when they pulled up at the end and they were like, hey, we're here, and the car was like maybe had 2 inches of paint left on it, and like,
yeah,
all the siding was gone from the entire thing. The whole engine block was literally like exposed to the world, and it made that horrible noise when they pulled up.
Yeah,
so I liked that. I felt like there were a lot of moments like that in the movie where they were like, look at how ridiculous this is, and that's where the humor comes from, and that's what like rescued it for me. They didn't take themselves too seriously. And I appreciate that, because mm-hmm. how can you have a project helmed by Ryan Reynolds and take yourself too seriously? That's impossible. No. Then you end up with Green Lantern, which we all remember.
I didn't even watch that.
It was terrible.
I didn't even watch it, but I enjoyed the little jab at it in Deadpool. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a perfect example of like taking yourself too seriously, and that is not an environment in which Ryan Reynolds like shines. He needs it to be like making fun of itself and like ridiculous and self-aware, and like he needs to be able to have that space.
I don't know that I've really seen any movies with him as a serious role. I know they exist, but
yeah,
some of the ones he, like, I know the one where he was buried alive.
I didn't see that.
I didn't watch that because that's my nightmare.
You're like, I didn't need that in my mind.
There were some other ones I just didn't watch because I just thought, oh, Ryan Reynolds being serious is not... I guess maybe I should give it a shot. Maybe it's good. I don't know. It was like when I heard Bill Murray made serious movies. I was like, how does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah. But to me, I think Ryan Reynolds and I go, oh, this is going to be the best deadpan, dry humor with massive insults that fly over people's heads.
Mm-hmm. The only time I liked him in a serious movie, and this is like the only one that I can think of, was the remake of the Amityville Horror.
I did watch part of that and then it got too scary and I turned it off.
Yeah, I think scared. He actually did a really good job in that movie. And that was like the only one that jumps to my mind as like a role where he was serious, but it worked. And I think it was because it was so far from comedy that like it didn't even stray into that world, so he could completely leave that behind. I think if you're trying to be like clever and like ha ha ha, but not funny, it's not going to work.
Right.
And that was the issue that Green Lantern had. I will never forgive them for Green Lantern because it was terrible.
When my friend Seth, who is obsessed with Green Lantern, said, please don't watch this movie, I was really bad. Oh, that's not good.
It was really, really bad. Oh, yeah, he was in Buried in 2010. I didn't see it. Never saw it. Yeah, I'm looking at his other stuff, and, like, I've never seen any of these serious things. Nope. I remember I saw RIPD, which is something that I think... Did you see that?
No,
it was, like, a comedy, like, a buddy cop comedy. This was, like... That, to me, is the predecessor of this.
Okay.
Because that was him and Jeff. What is his name?
Goldblum.
No. Jeff.
Bridges.
Bridges. Yeah. Jeff Bridges. Hey, nice. Yeah. Nice. It was him and Jeff Bridges, and they were like cops that were dead and they still continued to solve crime.
Okay.
Like Beetlejuice style. Like that was their job, like after they were dead. And so they would like possess these, and like they could make themselves look different, and they would like possess these bodies, and it was really funny. That was really funny. I recommend that one.
To look into that.
Yeah, it was really good. I was laughing. But that to me was like very similar to this, where like, yes, you have a serious thing that you have to get done, and there's like a case to solve or like a thing that you have to accomplish, but you're really just cracking jokes and like being funny all the way through. The other thing that I really liked about this movie was the technology. I thought that it felt very true to me, especially when he like brings up technology to Samuel Jackson, who's a way more like old school hitman. Mm-hmm. He was like, dude, they can track your cell phone. And he was like, what? That doesn't matter. And then like that's how they show up and find them. And he's like, dude, you're carrying a freaking homing beacon in your pocket. And he was like, yeah, you're not smarter than me. That idea of like Samuel Jackson being more old school and like not having access to that technology because he was in prison for a while. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. Like that was a cool way to play it. Was that like, no, he doesn't have all of this knowledge and stuff, but he's still... saved your ass, and like he's still really good at what he's trying to do.
Oh yeah.
And there's lessons that go both ways in that case, and that always makes me happy when they're like learning from each other.
I know. Like there's a lot of teamwork. I liked that the big reveal was when he goes, well, I'm the guy who popped that dude.
Yeah.
I shot the Japanese business guy. And He's like, well, how did you do it? Because he had everything so planned out. And he goes, I just happened to be on the roof of a parking garage nearby. And I looked over and I was like, oh, shit, it's that guy. Yeah. So I just shot him.
And he was like proud of how he just did it off the cuff. He was like, dude, that was an awesome shot. Like, I didn't even plan that out.
Yeah. And I thought that was an important lesson for Ryan Reynolds' character, because you can't plan everything. But then Samuel Jackson's character benefited from learning that sometimes you probably should plan things out a little bit more than just, I'm going to go into that building and I'm going to do this. So, I don't know. They balanced each other really well.
Yeah. And it was some pretty good writing.
Yeah. So even though they clashed, they balanced at the same. It was weird, but I liked it.
Yeah, it was good. And we definitely saw them like grow from absolutely just loathing each other to like being reluctant partners, like, hey, we're in this together, this is the only way we're gonna survive, to like, okay, now we have actually grown a respect for each other. So that journey, that like character journey, was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
I appreciated that they helped each other too. Like, Ryan Reynolds helped Samuel Jackson get, like, because if he didn't get to where he needed to be and like didn't stay alive, it was going to impact his wife, because he wasn't doing this for himself, he was doing it for his wife. So like, for Ryan Reynolds' character to be able to identify that that was what was important and like sign on and be like, okay, I agreed to do this, I'm gonna get you there, like, reluctant, yes, because I hate your guts, but like, that's what we have to do. And then for Samuel L. Jackson to say like, well, I kind of screwed up your life, so you know, I'm gonna fix it for you. They found a place for each other in their lives, which I was like, aww, that was kind of heartwarming and sweet. And I was like, aww. And when he took the bullet for him at the end, I was a little bit like, oh, I hope he doesn't die.
Like, he's not going to die. It's his movie.
I had that moment, though, where I was like, oh, no, that would be so sad. And I'm glad it didn't happen that way. But
I also liked when Ryan Reynolds was getting tortured, that Samuel L. Jackson, who didn't have to come and get him, did. And he's like, tell us where, whatever his character's name was. I don't remember.
Dukovich, I think, was his name.
No, it was like, they were asking Ryan Reynolds where Samuel Jackson was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Tell us where Samuel L. Jackson is. And he's like, he's right behind you. And they're like, oh, you liar. And then they went to shock him, and Samuel Jackson fucked everybody up.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I liked that.
And I feel like that's the moment where they went from being like reluctant partners to actual partners. Because he came back for him and he was like, dude, you kind of saved my bacon. And he was like, well, you kind of saved me a couple times too. So like, let's put our heads together and figure this shit out. So that was kind of neat. How accurate do you feel their portrayal of Amsterdam was? Since you have been there.
While I was there, I didn't really see any car chases.
So not so much that part.
Not so much that part. Definitely a lot of tulips there, which is nice.
That's nice that they decided to put Selma Hayek's character in prison there, given that there's a lot of tulips there.
Yeah.
That was kind.
It's a very beautiful city, and everybody's very friendly, and they have great food. I highly recommend. And I thought it was interesting how they showed the touristy parts, but they also showed the less touristy areas. I felt like usually in movies that are like, oh, we're chasing some guy through Paris. Apparently things like this must happen all the time in Europe. I don't know. Or the streets of San Francisco or whatever.
You're like, never when I was there. Where the hell have I been?
Not once have I witnessed a car chase in San Francisco, and I've been there a lot. So I thought it was interesting because they finally didn't just show a touristy part of town. They showed just like, this is a regular street with the hardware store and the grocery store and the lady outside selling tulips and like the little bar carts that they have around. So I thought it was interesting. And the secret apartment that he had.
Yeah.
That Samuel L. Jackson breaks into in like 30 seconds. That's what their apartments are like.
Oh, so that was accurate too.
Yeah. So because they have, it looks like a garage door, but it's their front door. Yeah.
So strange. It's just like open to the street like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I saw, I didn't actually like go into anybody's, like I don't know any Dutch people. So right. We were walking down along the canals, which are all over the place. So I don't think Samuel Jackson would have been able to zip through them as quickly as he did, because definitely more boats would have been around, because there's people, it's like another street.
It was a holiday.
There's more people cruising around in their boats than were in the movie.
So it's more like Venice than the way that they showed it.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. I mean, they filmed it in Amsterdam, so that is what it looks like. But there's definitely more people out and about in their boats, or there's like dinner cruises.
Mm. We saw one where he ran across the...
Yeah, there's a lot of those that are floating around out there. But we were walking down past the canals and we saw a few people open up what we had thought were garage doors. Cause I was like, these are really narrow to be streets. And it was like their apartment door, and they would pull out their bicycle. Cause like, that is no joke. Everybody in the Netherlands has a bike.
It's a very healthy lifestyle.
It is.
Less traffic.
Isn't it like the greenest country on the planet or something? Yeah.
It's good for your health. It's good for the environment.
Oh, yeah. Well, and when we were there, they were installing, I have a hard time describing what it was, like microfiber looking stuff. And what it is if you drive your bicycle, if you pedal your bicycle over this stuff, it collects energy from the bikes and it's going to power their lights eventually.
How cool is that? And it's like static electricity?
Kind of. And it's also like solar. Like it also picks up sunlight. And their goal is they want no gasoline used. And I think they want to try and have like zero emissions in the next like 20 years.
Good for them.
But yeah, everybody there is on a bicycle. I think I almost got mowed down like 20 times by somebody on a bike.
Because you were walking, right?
Because I was walking on what I thought was the sidewalk.
Oh.
I was in the bike lane.
Oops. Lesson learned.
Yeah. And they were super nice. They just like clicked their bells. Like, and then one guy went by and he's like, "You're in the bike lane." And I was like, "Oh,
sorry.
I'm American. Sorry. I'm stupid." But yeah, no, I thought it was a really good depiction of Amsterdam and that poor bartender guy. Like,
did it give you fond memories?
Yeah, I was like,
yeah. Poor guy.
Poor Dutch guy. I'm sure he just wanted to do his Dutch thing.
Yeah.
So, but yes, lovely. Go there sometime. You
recommend.
I highly recommend. I didn't want to come back.
One thing we didn't see very much of was like the food. I always love like travel action movies because I love to watch them eat. You know, that's like so, I'm such a weird.
That is kind of random.
I know, but all right. I know. But I like love to watch people eat in other countries. Like I love to be like, ooh, what are you having? That looks really good. Not so much food in this movie. And that kind of bummed me out.
Well,
I was a little bummed.
Dutch food is not very portable.
Oh, so they would have had to been like sitting down and eating.
Yeah,
it.
So because. When I was there, they had, they still eat it, not just because I'm not there, but they eat a lot of French fries with mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Oh,
you're on the no train?
God, what I'm are on the you
yes
doing?
Train. It's so no. good. Dude.
It's foul ball.
We disagree. I love French fries with mayonnaise.
I saw that and it comes in like, it looks like an ice cream cone.
Like a cone, yeah.
And I, what the fuck is... no. And so I did not eat that, but I did eat. They make pancakes the size of car tires.
Oh my goodness.
And you can fill them with stuff. So I got apple. It said apple and bacon, but it was apple and like ham, like Canadian ham. Kind
like
of.
Their bacon, which is not the same as American bacon.
But it wasn't
bacon.
Like, you know, Canadian bacon is the little circular slices. This was like. A slice of ham, like a big, huge...
They call it bacon.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I just thought I wanted the small pancakes. And she's like, that is small. I was like, oh, okay. And they put, I had a hot chocolate there. And if you want, they add red wine to it.
What?
It's delicious.
Red wine and hot cocoa. Yeah, two things I would have never put together.
They do that in France too.
Hmm. I was there in the summer. Nobody was drinking hot cocoa.
It was a million friggin' degrees.
What else did they eat? Oh, they a lot of like portable waffles. Mm. You can eat like, but yeah, I can't really think of any like
no street food that's like
not really. Famous. I mean, lots of cheese.
That's good.
I mean, they could have had cheese on a stick, I guess.
I'm down.
Yeah.
I was a little sad because I always love to like watch. I go to the movies to watch people eat.
Whatever makes you happy.
It's so weird. I know. But yeah. I don't know. I feel like I got a really good idea of the like city, like mm-hmm. city life, you know, because you saw like little slices of the city life. And I love the panoramas of like beautiful like so Amsterdam. There. Like it just looks so beautiful. I was like, I'm booking my ticket right now from the movie theater.
Take me with you.
Right. Dude, if I go, we're going together.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I'm so there. Mm-hmm. I want to go now, which was cool. Did you get to go to The Hague when you went?
Yes, that's actually where I stayed.
Oh, cool.
And so the like big ass building where they're having the trial, mm-hmm. we walked past that. Mm-hmm. We tried to walk past it. They were having some sort of international meeting thing, and there were police everywhere. And while American police do not mess around, these people were extra not messing around because they were carrying like machine guns.
Oh my. So it was very high, like
so we alert. We don't know who was in this meeting, but mm-hmm. apparently it was, I don't know, probably presidents from other countries and maybe the Queen of the Netherlands. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we were informed you will not walk down this street.
Oh my.
And you will take this detour. And we walked the most weird detour. And then, of course, there was also like a marathon that day. So mm-hmm. then we...
So you're like, we can't get anywhere.
We got to experience you dashing across the road where the where the marathon runners are running. And they have like crossing guards who just tell you, okay, go. And then you like run before the next marathon runner comes by.
Goodness.
It was gnarly.
It's such an exciting trip.
Yeah.
No explosions?
No.
Not a one?
No.
Aww.
Not at that place, no. But The Hague, I thought, was very beautiful on its own. And we stayed in like a neighborhood that was, I always forget, the Netherlands touches the ocean. Mm-hmm. I forget that.
Yeah.
So we stayed right next to the beach.
Oh, nice.
And, oh, yeah. And they have like beautiful parks. And there's like grass and green trees and all this stuff. And we stayed at an Airbnb and we went... the guy who owned the apartment we were staying in lives in Vietnam.
Oh.
And we were like, how do we get the keys? And he goes, oh, you go down to the corner cafe and tell them, I don't remember what his name was, whatever his name was, sent you, and they'll give you the keys.
Oh, that's very safe.
Yeah. And so we go in there and I was like, I'm Jill and I'm looking for the keys to this guy's apartment. And she goes, oh, yeah. And she just turns around and like hands me these keys. And I was like, where is it? And she goes, I don't know.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Oh good. So they have trolleys and it runs very well. And then we went to the train station in The Hague and we got on the train to Amsterdam and you go through the tulip fields. Mm-hmm. It was very pretty. Oh, it would have been very pretty if there had been tulips there, but they were not in season.
Yeah, wrong time of year.
I was so pissed.
I've seen the pictures of like the tulip fields where they're all color blocked and it looks so beautiful.
Yeah, it looks really beautiful.
I'm sorry.
I saw them, what they look like with no tulips. We were there like a month before the flowers started growing.
So it was all very green.
Bummer. No, it was just a field of dirt.
Oh, there was nothing there? Like not even the plants?
We just saw we saw people walking around planting the bulbs.
So they were like just getting ready.
Yeah. And when we were leaving, we went to go buy, because you can buy the bulbs and bring Dutch tulips back. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that would be cool to like grow my own Dutch tulips that are actually from the Netherlands. Like I can't get those in the mail. Anyway.
The internet is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
But and memory of the trip.
I go to buy them and this lady's like, they're not in season. And it was weird because I was like, in America, we would be growing these right now. And we're like in the same hemisphere. I'm very confused. And she goes, no, no, no. Tulips are for the fall. And I was like, in America, we grow them in the spring, right? Am I crazy? So
I always associate them with like Easter.
Yeah, no. In the Netherlands, it's like a fall thing.
Huh. Who knew?
Yeah.
I didn't know. And he goes,
well, you guys must have a very different version of fall than we do because for us, it's cold.
Yeah. All the flowers would die.
Yeah. So. Huh.
Fascinating fun fact. Stuff.
Yeah. I'm glad that this has become a cultural thing rather than about the movie. But yeah, the, they didn't show the train station, did they?
They didn't. They showed us the port because they came into Amsterdam like by ferry.
Yeah. From see, I didn't get to see that part.
Wherever they were coming
England
from.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I think it was like they were leaving from England to go over, up and over. My geography
it would be up and over. Because I didn't realize how far north the Netherlands were because we were there in like July. The sun didn't go down until 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even realize I was that far north. I was like, what is happening? This place is weird.
It's just more hours to drink.
Drunk? I can't. Yeah. That was that far north. Yeah.
So are we to assume that it was like fall time? I don't know. Now I'm confused. Like, when did the movie happen?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Because they were. Yeah. I'm not sure. Now I have extra questions.
I'm glad I could bring that up.
But I know, like, we saw the ferry area. I don't think we saw the train station.
They're all pretty close together, I think. Well, no.
It had, like, the glass roof.
Well, because the train station has a glass roof. And then if you walk across the street through the mounds of bicycles.
try not to die.
They have a parking garage just for bicycles.
Wow.
It's amazing. And I've never seen so many bicycles, but you walk across the street and there's some kinds of ferry over there, but I don't think it's like the ferry from England. I think it's like the ferry from some other part of the Netherlands because they're smaller.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that would be the same area, but I don't think so.
Mm. Yeah, I'd imagine they'd have like customs and stuff when you come in through like the port in Amsterdam.
Maybe.
I don't know. I've been only to the port in Seattle. Where they leave and come, like, internationally.
Oh.
And there were customs. That was the whole thing. Hmm. Which makes me wonder, like, how did they get their guns into the country of, like, the Netherlands? And I just, it gives me a lot of questions.
That is a good question, because they were very strict when we were leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got searched 4 times, I think, because I got searched before I got in line. I got searched at luggage.
Goodness.
I got searched at the terminal, and then I got searched again right before I got on the plane.
Wow.
Hardcore. But that was, I think they were under threat at that time.
Mm, so everything was heightened. Because
it was not too long after, there's so many things now. I think it was not too long after something happened in France.
Was it the bombing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bastille Day? That would have been July.
I think so, maybe. I'm not sure. But anyway, something had just happened. It's like such a normal thing now that I don't even remember which one it was.
Yeah.
I think it was the French one. And they were being extraordinarily cautious. So I would, I don't know if the port is the same, but I would think that they would have a very difficult time because I couldn't even leave without them being searching me 4 times.
Well, so. And if you're like on a manhunt for this like escaped convict and there's an international criminal court hearing happening in like your country with an international like war criminal, or did they not have guns at that time? Is that why they were going to the apartment? Did they have no guns
at
all?
I don't remember.
I have so many questions.
We'll have to watch it again. I don't recall.
This is when I overanalyze things and I'm like, that wouldn't really happen.
Everything.
but overall, like, I think what stands out, what like really, really like makes the film come alive, makes it worth watching is the performances.
Oh, yes.
By the cast. And I know that this movie was like a long time coming because it was on the blacklist for a while, like movies that no studio would touch and like no one would make. Yeah, it was on the blacklist, I think, in like 2011 or 2012. Like because... it just ended up on the list of like movies no one would touch. And then it got like resurrected. So kind of strange.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it doesn't seem any worse than any other blockbuster movies.
I know. It's like it's not that bad. It wasn't super, you know, innovative.
No,
in I was just trying to think or like, anything like that, but it wasn't terrible.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Wait. But I know that they like had a script and it was like done in 2011, and then it got blacklisted and nobody would touch it. But I think I did some reading. I did some research because I'm that kind of nerd. When it was blacklisted, I believe it was supposed to be serious. Like okay, it I can wasn't, maybe see that, yeah. Like it wasn't going to be funny, and I think the funny is what saves it. Otherwise, it would just be like, it's just an action movie. It doesn't even have like a franchise attached to it. It's not like it's a James Bond or like Expendables or Fast and Furious or something like that, where you'd be like, yeah, so the writing is bad. It's part of a series of films that's going to bring people in. This would have been like a standalone action film. About a genocide and a criminal.
Yeah, no, and a hitman. I don't want to see that.
I don't think that would have done very well. So I understand why it needed the injection of comedy, and it like needed, oddly enough, the guy from The Expendables.
I never saw
Patrick,
that.
What is his name?
Swayze.
Hughes? No, the guy that directed it.
Oh.
I think it's Patrick Hughes.
Patrick Stewart.
Gotta look it up. Patrick Hughes, yeah. He did some of the Expendables, which are very funny.
Really?
Action movies.
I haven't seen those.
Yeah, they're pretty funny.
Sylvester Stallone is not my primo choice.
I think Patrick Hughes did the second or the third one of the Expendables, but like, I mean, that was like the action series for action film stars, you know? So
kind of like Red.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like Red.
Retired and Extremely Dangerous.
Which is, I mean, that was pretty funny.
I liked that.
Like the action comedy is like a pretty, I think it's a fun genre, and it's perfect for summer blockbusters.
Oh, yeah.
And like it's the kind of thing where you don't want to poke it too hard, like, or too much, or it starts to fall apart. But if you just kind of let it, take it for what it is, let it be what it is. Don't try to turn it into something it's not.
What if I want to?
Then I think you're going to have a bad time.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you take that risk, and then you're kind of like, oh man, that was terrible. Well, you wanted it to be something it wasn't. Well,
it's every time I watch The A-Team, everybody's like, oh, you can't fly a tank. In this movie, you can.
You're like, let it be what it is.
If you are Charlton Copley and Liam Neeson and Bradley Cooper, you can do whatever the hell you want in this movie.
Yeah.
And the guy who was supposed to be Mr. T, I can't remember what his name is.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not an A-Team fan. I'm sorry. I'm generally not a big action movie fan. Like, it's not a genre that, like,
I like it. It has to be a decent story, though, for me. So this one, that was, I think, when I say it started off a little bit slow in this movie, I was kind of like, this is kind of a weak story.
Yeah.
And then it got better. And then I was entertained and I was laughing. But yeah, there are some other action movies where I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
I could do without this. But then there's other ones that are super good. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say Indiana Jones is an action.
Yeah.
I would say that. And I the A-Team, Man from U.N.C.L.E.,
which I've never seen. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm the worst.
No, I know that I have weird taste in movies. Red. Yeah. Stuff like that. So
most of them, I watch, like most action movies that I've ever seen, like Mission Impossible, and like James Bond, and like all those kind of things.
Bond doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can appreciate the evolution of the character and like the way that it's such a big part of pop culture and like it, he defines generations and like the differences between the different Bonds. Like that's all really cool. But I'm not, it's never going to be the kind of movie where I'm like, yes, Bond marathon. Like I'm not, that's not going to be me.
Me either.
No.
We'll be watching Buffy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's certain things that I'm like, yes, I love this franchise. And then there's other things where I'm like, eh. If somebody else is really into it.
I would say Star Wars is kind of an action.
It's a space opera.
Ish. It is not an opera.
It's not an opera.
There's not even any singing.
It doesn't have to have singing. In the first movie. I don't know. I'm not generally, if you're going to get me with an action movie, it has to have something else. Like this was an action comedy. And that was the other thing that it had going for it. Or like I enjoy Fifth Element, which is a super action-y movie. There's all kinds of like explosions and chases and all that kind of stuff. But that gets me because like it's kind of a love story and like it's kind of a sci-fi story and like it has mythology in it and like that's why I like it. Mm-hmm. So this one, it was the comedy that saved the action for me, because as a standalone action film, it would not have been very good. But you put like quirky action heroes and you mix them with like, I loved Amelia as like the straight one through the whole thing where she was like, this is not, I don't know what you guys are doing, but like, get your shit together because there's something to accomplish here.
Well, yeah, I think when you put it that way, it would be like if Deadpool was a serious movie, it wouldn't have worked. Yeah.
That would have sucked.
Yeah, it had just been like, and this guy.
It's tragic.
Melted, and then he fights crime to find Francis. Instead, every time I hear the word Francis, I laugh.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think you can get away.
Where's Francis? Oh my gosh.
I also think you can get away with a lot more if you're in the comedy realm. You can be like more ridiculous. Your like stuff doesn't quite need to always be completely logical. You don't need to have like, you know, you can get away with plot holes by like pointing them out and being like, well, how the fuck did that happen? We don't know. Ha ha ha. Anyway, like it kind of gives you more wiggle room. So to mix like comedy and action together, because action movies are full of plot holes, like that makes sense to me. Yeah. So yeah. And I enjoyed, like, speaking of Amelia, I enjoyed seeing the actor. I know you haven't watched Netflix Marvel stuff, but she is, it's the same actress, I forget her name, Elodie Young. She is Elektra in season 2 of Daredevil on Netflix, so it was cool to see her play a very different role, because I haven't seen her in much, and I thought that was really interesting because she kind of stretched her acting muscles in a way that I didn't see or haven't seen yet in Daredevil. So I thought that was kind of neat. She was like a completely different kind of person. And yet the ex-boyfriend is still really mad at her. That seems to be a thing that's going on.
She's like a thing.
In her, in her career. At least what I've seen of it. So I thought that was kind of funny.
No, I haven't watched any. I'm the worst.
It's okay.
But I heard Iron Fist wasn't good. I heard Defenders wasn't super great. And so I was like, I'll go watch Daredevil, like, but I've got, it's like, oh, when I get to it.
Yeah.
Because I've just heard so many mixed things.
I'm in the midst of Defenders right now, and I'm reserving my opinion until I'm done, because I'm only like 3 episodes in. So I'm like, God, no judgment. We barely even started the story. So I'm kind of like reserving until it's over.
It's probably a good idea.
Yeah. Overall, how many headshots would you give? I can't think of something funny.
I would give it like 3.5.
Yeah.
Some of those things where if it was on, I would watch it, but I probably wouldn't super go out of my way to see it, I guess.
Yeah.
I would maybe build it into my Ryan Reynolds or Samuel Jackson marathon. If I was doing that.
That's fair. I think I would go 3. Yeah. I'm going to be a little harsher on them. Because it was missing some of the Gary Oldman sparkle. If it had more Gary Oldman sparkle, I would have probably gone 3.5.
I'm just picturing Sirius Black covered in glitter.
Fair. That's fair. I feel like he was like, you have to give me crazy makeup. So they made up that whole dioxin poisoning thing to give him like a crazy prosthetic on his face. Because he was like, I won't do it unless I get to be like.
At some point, you have to do something to my face.
Yeah, I at least have to look weird or I'm not.
If I can't have a weird haircut, you have to do something to my face.
Yeah.
He'll always be Sid Vicious to me.
That's funny. I feel like he'll always be. I don't know. Like I look at, he's very hard to recognize when you see him in different things. Like he's very chameleon-ish.
I didn't recognize him as Sirius Black.
Yeah, first. He looks completely different. Like how can you say that the same guy played like the bad guy in The Fifth Element, to bring it full circle, because I loved his portrayal in The Fifth Element. He was hilarious. But like, how can you say that was the same guy as Sirius Black, who was the same guy as Dracula? I just, what? Like, how are those all the same person?
Who is Sid Vicious?
Mm-hmm. Who's also Mason Verger in Hannibal? Like, how?
Also, Guildenstern in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead?
Yeah, he's one of the two. I think
I think he's Guildenstern.
I'm looking him up right now.
Because I think, what's his name was Rosencrantz? I don't know. But that was a good movie.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I mean, he's a chameleon. And so I appreciate that. And I liked, like, I will always watch something with him in it. Like, even if it's terrible, I'll be like, but it has Gary Oldman in it. So for that reason, like, I wish there was more of him in the movie. And that he got to be.
I think he was a little underutilized.
Yeah. He got his, like, moment. And I was just like, oh, take my breath away when he was, like, giving his speech towards the end. But I didn't feel like he got. I feel like he got overshadowed a little bit, and the writing kind of allowed them to overshadow him a bit, and that maybe that just makes me grumpy, but I give it 3 headshots out of 5.
No, that's fair.
So what are we talking about next week?
Supernatural. Sorry, I had to think about that. It's a little bit late at night right now.
It's okay.
We are going to continue our rewatch of Supernatural with season 2.
Mm-hmm. So much.
So we'll be not even 20% of the way there.
Oh my gosh, don't say that.
I can't math, but.
Oh, that. There's just so much to go. There's so much more.
I'm okay with that.
The journey. It's all about the journey.
It's all about the journey. There's going to be a lot of laughs and a lot of tears.
So
and
many
a lot
tears.
A lot of cursing at fictional characters. And it's going to be a good ride. So I would say go ahead and watch season 2 of Supernatural so that you can get all caught up and know what we're talking about. Because, yeah, spoilers all over the place. Because in the last one with season 1, we kind of accidentally said some things about later seasons. So I'd say watch as much as you can.
It's going to keep happening.
Yeah.
It's not gonna keep happening. It's not going to not happen.
I'm not even sorry. It's been out for 10 years.
Oh my God.
If you haven't seen it.
It's been out for 10 years.
Isn't that weird?
That's weird.
If you haven't seen it by now, I can't help you.
Yeah. So like, and it all ties together. That's why we're doing this rewatch, right? Is to see how it all ties together mm-hmm, and to get like mm-hmm. some retrospective.
Yeah. Because season 13's coming. I have so many questions. I'm trying to, you know, we're trying to go back and see, like, mm-hmm. is there something that they might pull from the past?
Yeah.
And there's been so many characters that mm-hmm. honestly, there's a couple times where they're like, oh my God, it's so-and-so. And I'm like, do we know them?
Yeah, I completely forget that people like, exist.
I forgot about like, you.
Oh my God, I don't even remember that was a thing. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
So, when you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Go back. Rewatch.
It's worth it.
Enjoy season 2.
And we will.
And 3, 4, 5, 6.
Just watch it all. Just, if you could just do us a favor and watch it all.
Because, yeah, we're going to end up doing all of the seasons. Mm-hmm. So
that's the plan.
Yay. So until then, bye.
Bye.